All right, you're on. You're live.
Okay. Welcome to the January 16th, 2020 meeting of the Sustainability Advisory Board. It is 6:02. Thank you for everyone. We have new members and we have returning members. And so we're going to go around and everybody say their name and their position on, and if you're new or not new.
So, Greg Smith. Good to see you all.
And Greg is a new board member.
Russ Axrod, Mayor, Council Liaison to the SAB, at least for now. I've been for many years, and we're not sure how the liaisons, we're going to shift them a little or not much. I don't know yet, but we'll know that soon. So, I'm here tonight anyway.
Chris Myers, City Staff.
Terrence Schumacher, Co-Director.
Mary Baumgartner, I am here to announce I am an outgoing member because because I have taken an appointment on the Parks and Rec Advisory Board and can only sit on two boards. So,
and you're on the Transportation Board.
Yes, and not because this is not important to me, but I had to pick.
Aww.
So.
Okay, we get the trip.
Sorry.
But you guys are all doing such a good job.
Darren Wise, City Staff.
Victoria Meyer, newbie.
And Cindy Ellison, co-chair. And missing tonight are Kim Bria. She is at a meeting. And a new member, Emily Wolf. All right. There are no guests tonight, so we have no public comments. Oops. Look at my agenda here. And all right. So let's go around and do check-ins, updates. We did not meet in December. Does anybody have anything they want to share? Mary's leaving. Anything else? Anybody been?
So just the
doing any stuff? Oh, right.
So we'll introduce Chris.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, so I am going to be transitioning over to the Historic Review Board, and Chris is going to take over the Sustainability Board. Mm-hmm. So you'll be in good hands. You're a self functioning group. So
what a perfect
self functioning.
Yeah.
Self sustaining.
Yes, so there you go.
Well played.
Well, we've always appreciated your help, so thank you, Chris. Anything else? Anybody else?
I attended the presentation of the Climate Action Plan with the county commissioners yesterday, and it kind of spoke to the value of speaking more to the commissioners about climate change and just kind of helping them begin to understand the gravity of the circumstances that we're facing.
Yeah. Thank you.
And I've been doing a lot of activity on the side, working with Clackamas Climate Action Coalition and giving testimony at commission, county commissioner board meetings, specifically on just like not generally but specific. There's a timber sale planned, and I made a public comment about that. And I also sent a comment via email for that meeting yesterday, but that's pretty much all. So if Clackamas Climate Action Coalition is a great group. They are trying, their goal is to have presence at every single weekly meeting of the Board of County Commissioners, which are Thursdays at 10 a.m. up in Oregon City on the Hill. Yeah. And they want to basically be messaging constantly on various topics, you know, farming and, you know, agriculture and various sustainability issues. And so if anybody here wants to get involved, or if you know someone who wants to get involved and has a yearning to activism, that is a great group to do, and they're growing. I would recommend that. And they also are running events regularly. You came. Yep. Didn't you come?
I came.
I think I was there too.
Oh, yeah. So
that was great.
Yeah. So they're doing talks. And so having coordination would be, I think, a really good thing, just because people, you know, we're all independently kind of working on our thing, and if we could create a cohesive coalition and do some combined activities, I think that would be really impactful.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I went to that meeting, and I'm now getting their emails, but so I would encourage anybody who's not to get their emails. It's the climate. I get their name and stuff, though. It's climate. It's Clackamas County Climate Action.
It's actually Clackamas Climate Action Coalition.
Climate. There must have been 150 to 200 people at that meeting in December.
December 2nd.
Yeah. Yes. I learned a lot. I learned a lot from the speaker on, the current science on
the climate reality presentation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed the Rex Putnam students.
Yes.
They were angry at us, at my generation.
And I went to the I've been to a couple of meetings, but the Metro Council had a transportation summit on Monday night, or I don't know what they called it, but it was a meeting where they were inviting people to have public comment on their various projects they've got going. And what impacted me while I sat and listened for an hour to public comment that was limited to 2 minutes apiece was 98% of it or more was just climate. Whatever is, gonna help the climate, make your decisions around that. That's the only goal, is whatever it is that you're doing, equity, climate.
Yeah.
And that was and Sunrise was there too. So there.
What is Sunrise?
They're a youth climate action
That's right.
group. I mean, they're not all youth, but mostly. Mm-hmm. So.
I went to the meeting on the bridge.
Oglo.
Yeah, the bridge from Lake Oswego to, and that was, that was like
frustrating.
Lake Oswego just sat back and said, "We're not interested." So I don't know if that's going to go anywhere. But people talked
about it.
Yeah, I'm sure they did, because Metro still likes that.
Yeah,
we're not letting go of that. We're hoping there's going to be a new council in Lake Oswego this year, and it's still being kept in the looking at phase, because we're all desperate for that. I think it's going to happen. We've been looking at it. Can we land it somewhere else?
Yeah, I mean,
and that's been asked, but there's not really, unfortunately, it's really ideal there. So, but we've been looking at even private lands. We're looking at private lands in Lake Oswego, possibly for a landing, if it couldn't be the public lands. But I don't lose hope on that.
Good, because I have lost hope on that. So that's good to hear.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I'll mention one thing briefly. In the Northwest Climate Conference, regarded that, be good for the group to sort of tap into the kind of agenda and what's happening and be a little engaged. This year, it was really cool because we had several of our high school kids there. And it would be nice I think it would be very applicable for this group to have connection into the activities there and what's
Northwest
happening.
Northwest Climate.
The Northwest Climate, yeah, the 10th one was this last year. But I'm also I'm working on climate issues in a couple of regional areas, nationally with the mayors, but also with AWWA recently, and we're working on issues around snowpack issues, temperature, and developing sanotoxin monitoring approaches for our watersheds for where it's already becoming very problematic. You've heard about Salem last year. But the warming waters, the reduced snowpack is becoming a problem. So we're working on a kind of strategy regionally on that, and I'm very active in that group. And actually, we're hoping to put a kind of a paper out soon about what we're doing kind of in the region around that. So that's through AWWA and then also through the Regional Water Providers Consortium.
And are you in communication much with the mayor of Milwaukee?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
All the time. Yeah. He's running for Congress,
Is he really? I hadn't realized that.
He's challenging Schrader.
Oh, that's right. I did hear that.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else? That's great. We're busy. Has everybody had time to look at the minutes? I actually had a an addition that I forgot. I remember because I did the minutes. I remembered that I did not put as a. I didn't put out down as a pending item that Darren was going to try to get us a well, which maybe it moves to you now. Get us a date for a working session with the council. Did you do that? Is it on there?
I have not done that, but I think the mayor can speak to this better than me. But you,
it's tight. It's tight in this first quarter.
Yeah, we were.
Well, at least into February, it is certainly. Okay. But sorry.
Also, yeah, the council as a group sets the dates for their meetings with the advisory groups. Is that right? Or
well, we try and work them in. We've worked with the city manager and, you know, work them in.
Okay, so.
Throughout the year, so, yeah.
I mean, right. So, yeah.
We'll, if we know the interest is there, right. We'll work it in. Okay. I saw you had a request for kind of like a first quarter.
Yeah, so yeah. Chris okay. And I will work with Kathy to try to get it on.
Okay.
Sure. February or March.
Probably okay. March,
yeah.
My guess.
Okay. I know, I just think I left that off on the minutes that okay. We were going to go for that. We sort
March,
of have it.
March might be too tight, but we'll try and do that.
Okay. All right.
So I think particularly this group because it might help you guys best.
Yeah.
As opposed to some of the other CAGs that are kind of, right. Have kind of designated stuff they're already working on. It's kind of obvious.
Yeah. But yeah, we've added.
If you need more input from us, you know.
Yeah, we added a few new things. That would be nice to get input on that. Okay, so any other comments on the minutes or any changes or updates? Everybody?
I didn't get a copy of the minutes. Okay.
I can run the print.
It
if you
would
want.
Have been a link on in Darren's email mm-hmm. with the agenda.
I got the agenda, but I didn't see the link to that. Sorry.
Oh, that's all right.
You were nice to send it anyway. Thanks.
So they're not the official minutes, they're just meeting notes, so you know, it's just a general consensus that they're
I see what you mean.
Simplified.
So when we get in, we take the minutes, Darren posts, or Chris now will post them on the city. So they are probably there, right?
Yeah, they're on the city website.
Too. Okay.
So they should be there before our meeting, just before it.
Right. I just sort of remember hearing this.
Yeah. Along with the agenda. I assume, the agenda
is
supposed to be.
The agenda and the previous minutes get posted.
So does everybody?
Yep,
minutes
good.
Are good? So I hope everybody quickly reviewed the goals and tasks that came out of our kind of a retreat we had on November 30th. I had totally forgotten a lot of this stuff. So what I thought was really great about it was that we took the time to determine individual tasks, which I thank Terry so much for making us do that and thinking of that and also taking great minutes that we have here, our lists here. So what do you think is the best way to dive into this? Should we...
prioritize the three goals, obviously 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
So it seems like looking at goal number 1 to be sure that... that's the one we want to focus on first, mm-hmm. but also keeping in mind that the ongoing tasks for 2020, there's things there that will have to slip in, you know, as needed. So we
yeah,
need
and some
those.
Of those are pretty kind of beefy too. Mm-hmm. One of the things I wanted to ask people also to do and is think about which one of these interests you that you'd like to work on. Because obviously, we'll all help with all of them, but it's better if, people decide, you know, which ones that they're specifically interested in. Like, I kind of proposed goal 1, so I'm interested in maybe working more on that one than some of the other ones. So if anybody knows now, ones that kind of speaks to them, that they would be more willing to work on. I know you, well, let's see. I would say you were interested in the garden, the community garden stuff, too.
Moderately.
Well, you have some experience.
I do. It's just not going to take that much.
Yeah, but the big three goals.
Yeah.
Of course, I think we were going to, we kind of put them in order also of how we wanted to tackle them.
Throughout the year, chronologically?
Yeah, I think so, because I think we decided that we would put off the education series till later in the year.
Yeah. I think we mentioned maybe at the fair having all of them listed.
Yeah.
So that then after the fair, say, I don't know, September, October, November, right, we can do that series.
Yeah.
So they can be marketed.
So that's true. So we do need some time at some point. Get it all set up before.
So who else in the room helped with the kind of initial city energy audit? Just out of curiosity, is anybody?
Me. Were you around then, Darren, when they...
No, that was before my time also.
Yeah.
How long have you been on this?
I started with the city in 2015, and then I started with this group in 2016. So that energy would have been before I started with the city.
At least 4 or 5 years ago. At least 5 years ago.
Yeah. Because the plan was adopted right about the time I came on board with the city. So I think it was done as part of that.
I think it was 16.
I'd be willing to help with that one, but it would be useful to know, like, who at Clackamas Community College and OIT was involved with working with the students who helped with that audit.
Oh, the OIT student.
Yeah.
Audit. Okay. Yeah. I can probably find you the report that they.
Yeah, did. The report with names would be particularly helpful. Yeah.
Yep.
Glenn Friedman, he's a former board member. He just went off.
Okay. Use him as a resource.
He is the one who recruited the OIT students. So I think we're talking about two energy audits, right?
Yeah.
One that was done way back with the city, and then the OIT students did sort of a small kind of specific building.
Well, it was focused on, we had project areas, it was focused on developing a program for like our parks. And other spaces where we could, that we're looking for our net zero. We have a net zero program for our parks, for example. And so they were developing the information kind of around that and supplementing more of the audit. But the other audit was preceded that.
Uh-huh. And do you remember by how many years?
I don't remember exactly.
But yeah, we'll get that information.
It was right around that time that you mentioned. Glenn would know that. Glenn was on.
Okay. Yeah.
So Glenn's a great resource for that.
Yeah. I guess if somebody could just send me his email address or phone number, that would be helpful.
All right.
Karen can get you that.
Yep, I can get you that, Greg.
You got that.
Thanks.
Okay. All right.
I'm curious about, so on the goal one for the all the city buildings, well, I guess as part of the audit, you would see kind of what the status is, because I mean there's getting all city buildings into the leaders in sustainability program. I wasn't quite sure exactly
it's not really,
it's like a pretty tall order.
Yeah. I don't know if we need you know what it is? Are you familiar with the program? Yeah.
Broadly.
I mean, it covers a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And
that's what I was thinking. I wondered if you maybe want to be a little more specific on that.
Yeah, when I brought this up, I was thinking specifically the adult community center. I don't know, maybe the Robin Wood station. Maybe I don't know if they're in it yet, or you know those kinds of things. Not City Hall. And I thought we'd start with the one that you know, those couple of parks. Mm-hmm. Run buildings, and then but Darren had suggested that instead of it coming from us, that we actually come up with a proposal to get it to come from the council that says, you know, let's get these maybe we should be very specific. Let's get these three buildings or whatever.
Prime the pump.
And into the program. Or what would you recommend? Or would it be more, do you recommend a more general proposal that comes down and then it comes from staff?
Well, it kind of ties in with the audit and where it's needed, and you know what we have building. We have mostly not so great buildings, as you know.
Right. Well, this goes into everything, though. It goes into your trash, what you throw away.
Yeah.
You
know, yeah.
Not just energy.
This building's pretty new. Is it not compliant?
This building? Yeah, it's fairly new, but it's
mid-90s.
It's not very energy efficient at all.
Okay. No.
We are redoing the we're putting money into redoing the HVAC, bringing some new materials for the HVAC. Robinwood Station, we're pushing, I'm pushing for solar, and it to be sort of provide a resilient refuge for the northern part of the city. I think that would be valuable.
What about the library?
So, the library, we were in the middle of putting a new roof, and we're investing in that this year, part of the GoBond money.
What year was it built?
The library?
20 years ago?
It's about,
it seemed like it was that long
I want to say about,
is it
about
older?
15.
Older than this building?
No, it's newer than this building.
Oh, okay.
No, it's newer than this building. Yeah. It was built out a little bit in a couple of phases. So
the way I think of the Leaders in Sustainability program is stuff that that doesn't necessarily cost any money.
Mm.
You know, maybe just a shift in thinking and ordering.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe there's a lot of stuff they're already doing that they could at least already. Maybe a lot of maybe they already could apply for the program and just get that because it. You know, they. They list it in the Clackamas County News, all the different places and schools that are in the program. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it doesn't really cost that much money.
Okay.
Might even save some money.
And it, you know, just changing out LEDs and that kind of stuff.
Who makes decisions on the applications to that program?
Clackamas County.
Is it the commissioners or is there just
Office of Sustainability. Okay. Yeah. And Alex Min, who's a former board member, although I talked to him the other day, he's no longer doing West Lynn. It would be another person, but he works in this office.
They want people in the program, right? I mean, they'd be excited to get out.
Yeah, and you get a beautiful glass. it's a beautiful glass.
Like a plaque.
Yeah. And they have different levels, silver, gold, I think. Yeah. And when I did it for our church in Lake Oswego, and it most of the stuff we were already doing, really. Yeah. It just got us. It did. You know, what they do is they come out and they, Alex did this, and you go through the trash. So you do a trash audit.
Mm-hmm.
So he actually pulls in the trash can and you sit there with gloves and you pull everything out of the trash.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we found a lot of things that we have a Jewish congregation that meets in the church. And we found they were throwing away a lot of styrofoam and things and, you know, using more styrofoam than we thought and stuff.
Yeah.
So, It's a lot of it is educational, not necessarily cost.
Yeah. My thinking was, I mean, it's a really good goal, I think, for the city in terms to address our buildings and our operations, too, but in the community, some goals around that stuff for living more sustainably.
Yeah.
Maybe that's part of the education.
That's part of the
program.
Education.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Right.
I have a question. If that's the case, then does this need to be amended to say a proposal to get certain city buildings rather than all, or is that, how does that work?
I would probably recommend that. What do you think?
If you're negotiating, you reach for the sky and settle for three buildings.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, the goal can get them all in there. Yeah. You just go one at a time until you get there.
Oh, okay.
And maybe say that the aim is to basically see this as a project that would go over several years, so it isn't like next year, but that eventually the aim would be to have all city buildings participating.
Yeah.
That's a great goal.
All right, then. I will work on for our next meeting, maybe, bringing the forms in. I have a copy of the forms. It's like 3 or 4 pages of checklist things. So I'll get more information on that for our next meeting. But I think the primary thing is for us maybe to come up with a... would it go to council, or would it go to... Well, city manager.
Yeah. So the reason I recommended that it would be a proposal,
right,
is if there's staff time involved, right, then it's someone's got to direct the staff to do these things. Because right, if the SAB just comes to the staff, then they're not going to take direction from you. They're going to want the, you know, proposal to council. Council says yes, we're interested in this program. Get it implemented, and then council will direct the city manager and. Okay. And then they'll direct staff to work with the group to get the information they need.
So we need to come up with a wording, a proposal, and send it on.
Yeah, and then you could ask the Clackamas County folks, like, what's the general length of time it takes for staff to participate in something like this? And then give a general idea of what the commitment from staff would be.
Like in the proposal we did for the backyard habitat. We gave examples of local cities who did stuff and a lot of details about how it's done. So probably be similar here, I guess.
Yeah.
I think they came to council, too, didn't they? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Backyard habitat, yeah. They came to council. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you can even have the county come to council and talk.
Okay.
It's always a good thing.
Yeah, and then to the mayor's point, then, you know, if the city did get a building or two into the program, then it could be, I wouldn't say marketed, but right, information could be passed to the community, mm-hmm, the general community, to say, hey, this program exists, we've yeah, done it, mm-hmm, it takes X, Y, and Z, so, you know, the Sustainability Advisory Board can give you advice on how to participate.
All right. Yeah, that's good, because they were particularly interested in churches and schools, too,
mm-hmm,
doing
mm-hmm
it.
And it seems like you could build on your own experience at the church in terms of just the yeah time requirements.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. But we have to come up with a worded proposal to submit via letter or email.
When we did the other proposals, it just mm-hmm was a proposal, written proposal, and it was emailed to the council.
Just emailed to the council, okay. Okay, I'll work on some of this stuff too. I'm not sure we need Alex to come, but if you guys feel like you want more information on it, we could certainly do that at some point too. Time required. What is the L? Oh, leaders in sustainability. Okay. Exam and checklist. Okay.
LS stands for what?
Leaders in Sustainability. Okay, so if I bring the checklist, we can look it over and come up with a proposal.
Do you want help writing that proposal?
Yeah, I'd love help. Would you like to help me?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. I'll get it started, and maybe we can do it via email back and forth, and then sure, bring it back to the...
Mm-hmm. I can send you a copy of that Backyard Habitat proposal, because it's pretty easy format.
Do
you can
that.
Kind of use it as a
yeah
template.
Yeah, that would be great. I just got... I also have one from Lake Oswego, a proposal for... they're working on banning gas blowers.
Yes!
And I just got a copy of their proposal. From their Sustainability Advisory Board, so I could also look at theirs.
My next door neighbor just got one that is a vacuum that sounds mm-hmm just the same as a blower.
Yeah, they do both. They blow and mm-hmm vacuum.
She's really excited about it.
As long as it's not gas.
Scourge.
Noise pollution.
Is there any more thoughts on goal one? It's gonna just something to get started on, I guess.
Yeah. It's a starter goal.
Right. Now, the goal two, we touched on it a little bit. I guess the idea is to just do some background research on what we've already done.
I can basically try to do as much of this as I can.
I can help on that, and Russ has had some really good input on that before. So.
And we had a, you know what, did we? Oh, you know what, we forgot, sorry, Darren, we forgot to review action items from past meetings because I saw that was on there about, sorry, can we back up to the action items from the last meeting? Sorry about that. We we had one on there about, yeah, Mayor Axelrod will contact Amoresco to talk to SAB about energy audit. That was on there.
Yeah, that would be a part of a goal, too.
Yeah, and then I guess, Chris, we... The action item, the number one that Darren was, that was... we were going to look at possibly sites for more community gardens.
Excellent.
Even consider pollinator gardens also.
Well, that was a map Darren got showing the unimproved right-of-ways. And we thought about...
This is yours.
I did not make that joke.
But
it was something that was brought to council about maintaining unimproved right-of-ways and whether to possibly vacate some of them.
Yeah.
And so I brought it to the SAB that... You know, some of these unused right-of-ways possibly function as community garden space, or then the group came up with it, or native pollinator gardens, since we're
with our habitat program, native plants that don't require a lot of water.
So then we'll stay on the list. I'll work on getting a map and work with Chris to get that before all of you at some point.
I mean, we've had a lot of issues just with maintaining these right-of-ways. Parks can't keep them up.
They're
just buried in invasive species. So getting some positive use out of
them. Well, I thought that similar to, adopt a highway, adopt a park, we could adopt a right-of-way program. Call it the ARROW program, adopt a right-of-way, and communities can work with the backyard habitat people.
Xerces, the bee city pollinator stuff.
Both of those programs are part of the city now, so that would be a great time.
The cool part about something like this, too, is unlike some of these, this is very community-based and community-oriented, where you can get a lot of people involved, whether it's elementary schools, working with students, whatever. I mean, it has a lot of top potential to be a really cool community builder, too.
Ooh, that's a possibility for part of one of the education series programs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get kids in.
Yeah, a lot of the schools, I think, have gardens, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Eco School Network does a lot of that.
I mean, vegetable gardens.
And then, of course, they have to figure out how to deal with not planting over the summer.
Yeah, right.
Not that they really are actively using, I don't think. But
there's some fava beans coming up at sunset.
But this was supposed to help the city out, too, in terms of getting more involvement with the right-of-ways.
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, if some of these unimproved sites were kind of turned into community gardens, would there be money from the city to be able to provide water as well as pay for water?
Yeah, that's something we've talked about. Our Wayne Community Garden is down all the way, the far end of town, on the river down there. And I've always felt like it would be cool to have something up in the middle part, up on the hill.
Yeah, for sure.
And there's that property in Sunset, I think is it, I want to say Sussex or...
Kelly Street,
thank you. Kelly Street, there's an opportunity there that I think is pretty ripe for a community garden. It's in a perfect area. It's a full section.
It's a nice area.
It's a great property and... I would support the city getting behind infrastructure to help a community garden there. Uh-huh. I mean, I would support that. So I would think maybe most of the council might support that too, perhaps. Water is an issue, but you can always, there's ways to help control that and make sure you don't have problems with its usage. And you get managers of the gardens and stuff, and it can go pretty well. So I think
I think it'd be great.
A lot of potential.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of potential there.
It's really cool.
Yeah, so that was...
That could be tie in with your goal around right-of-ways. That could be a right-of-way that gets...
Chris, could I see the map?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, I might have.
Well, this doesn't even cover... I mean, we have a lot more than the
right,
because
I looked at that
massive spaces.
Couldn't see the place right behind my house that should be on this map.
Wooded ravines.
Right.
Grow much in the shade of the canopy.
Right.
So some of them don't really work.
Yeah, the thought was to, you know, use the map and then utility waterline information to see where it's available.
It's close.
And then again, the group would do some research. So we had the, Victoria, you were part of the gardens down.
I'm the director, yeah.
Yeah, so Victoria's got intimate knowledge about how it operates down in Fields Bridge mm-hmm. Park.
Mm-hmm.
So
I mean,
get that, use that knowledge.
Good enough.
And then, you know, come up with a proposal. You know, maybe you charge $20 per plot. Or, mm-hmm. you know, is it free down in Fields Bridge?
No, so. We rent the plots for $35 a year.
Yep, so.
And we just upped the cleanup fee from $20 to $50 so people pay attention when they leave.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you get all the information figured out and again send a proposal and then see if I get another garden going. And
at the Fields Bridge community garden, is compost made available? Like, does the city dump leaves and other compostable materials there?
The rent that people pays for four wheelbarrows full of good compost,
okay.
which we purchase from, I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but the water's covered mm-hmm. and access to tools in the shed, which mm-hmm. they just rebuilt.
Good.
Yeah.
I mean, to that point, though, there's probably a lot of unused mm-hmm. product that we have out of our parks.
Yeah, I was thinking like
I'd say next to Ron, our arborist, and he's always talking about.
Oh, I'm sorry. We do get wood chips for free from the city.
Yeah,
for
free.
Yeah, wood chips
for sure.
There's got to be a way to tie some of that
in.
It seems like it would be a really cool circle that you could create.
Yeah.
So I guess what Darren was saying about leaving that as a pending action item would be any updates that you can make to that map.
Sure.
In terms of overlays. is helpful.
So it seems like as something to shoot towards, having a proposal could be brought to the City Council by the spring. Might be nice to have a kind of a sub-goal.
Well, we have it on our as a task down
task,
here. Okay. But if we could come up with like one or two sites, even, that would be helpful. You said Kelly Street?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's
in Sunset Neighborhood.
I got a little.
He's waiting lists.
We have a lot of families there with young kids, and you know, it's really.
Yeah, the Montessori school mm-hmm. actually contacted us several years ago about that.
Oh.
About that space.
Oh, about that space.
Yeah.
I mean, for school, you mean?
For garden? More gardens, because you know how many gardens they have around the school up there?
Yeah.
It's a long street.
It's on long.
Yeah.
So it's very, it's not very behind there, but it's just downhill from the school.
You know, I had pushed the school district at one point for the Rosemont Ridge school, the back end of the Rosemont Ridge school. There's just some great mm-hmm. land there that's just sitting there. It's perfect for a garden. Mm-hmm. You know.
And the school district has some mowing.
Hasn't kind of gotten too much traction.
you need some.
I mean, I haven't touched it in quite a while, but
this
was like a couple of years ago, I think, when we were pushing on this issue again another time. Maybe we can revisit with
Dollar Street's coming up.
Maybe, you know, things
I smell
change.
That.
Yeah.
Traffic's great right along there.
Yeah.
Especially if they
bill on dollar, maybe get them to put a garden in somewhere else.
I'm just saying.
three to four o'clock.
Now, the next one was looking at a sustainability staff position. We didn't add that this year, did we?
Well, I think that was part of the energy audit possibility there.
I remember talking about it.
Oh, yeah, staff position. Yeah, it was under goal 2. That's right. Proposal 2. I guess it's just something to keep talking about. I don't know if...
Yeah, that would be a part of the proposal that we come up with for goal 2 is to either, you know...
So is Ameresco a business that does energy audits?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember if I heard back from them or not. I'll log in and talk to them.
Now, I don't remember. I don't know. PGE. Why were we going to have PGE come to a meeting?
Oh, do I remember? Yeah, I've been pushing that. In fact, I am meeting with PGE tomorrow morning on some related matters. But I, you know, been pushing the e-bike and the e-energy use with the Pope. With the Pope.
Whoa.
With the CEO, really? Maria Pop.
Oh, Maria Pop.
Running in high circles.
That was close.
She and I met at LSC this last September and had a nice, really good private conversation about that, as well as, and I've been kind of looking at trying to get, expand the opportunity for to have transit through SMART. With Wilsonville Smart, expanding, getting rid of our these diesel buses, leveraging, getting this first student out of the way, taking that money and putting it towards a different sort of program that serves both cities. Mm-hmm. And there's some interest in that. So that's part of the E piece. But on the more immediate front, there's been some interest in PGE and maybe sponsoring in West Lynn, PGE helping really sponsor a full e-fair. That cars and bikes.
Okay.
And there's even some talk about doing some, you know, something this summer. So I'm meeting with PGE in the morning, tomorrow morning, about kind of some other stuff. Okay. They might have on their agenda an update from Maria that I haven't heard back, so I'll check in and see where that's at. But that was kind of the opportunity, was to kind of leverage with them, get them to help with sponsorship, communication, outreach, mm-hmm. opportunities.
Okay.
You know, we don't have any electric plug-in stations. Mm-hmm. I had asked about that in our Main Street upgrade, you know, we're in the middle of.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Should we be doing, you know, because I said, why don't we have charging stations here?
Yeah.
Well, cities aren't putting charging stations in those places where people will just pull up and park and leave their car there for the day. That's kind of been a problem. So what you do is you put them off in a separate little area, usually so with the parking garage or station area. And, you know, we've been talking and always wanting sort of a parking place down in somewhere in Willamette off the Main Street. So you're not bringing cars into Main Street, but if we need to have parking for growth down there, maybe have a separate structure, but that could accommodate e-stations.
Yeah.
They're very interested in that. I've also been pushing them about e-stations at the high school for bicycles and a bike program for kids to help reduce the parking issues, mm-hmm. and at least, you know, introduce a program, maybe subsidize bikes for kids, and let's get 100 kids on e-bikes. Mm-hmm. I mean, that takes care of your parking problem right there. And if you've ridden an e-bike around this town, you can go anywhere very easily. You can have your groceries, you can carry your books, you can do really well. Well, that's part of it. We've got to work on the safe infrastructure.
Well, and that's in the plan, right?
Yes, and we are. We are doing that all over. We're pushing for cycle track.
It's eventually going to be all the way from Main Street down to the Arch Bridge.
Yeah.
All
not in my
there.
Lifetime, but...
Well, no. I'm hoping.
It's in the queue.
Right. We're in the queue
and
for all of
Arch
Highway
Bridge
43. We're, you know, working on that. So if we can get 2020 passed next year by Metro, that's how we're hoping to fund the rest of Highway 43. And right now we're leveraged to be a top tier 2 project, mm-hmm. Highway 43. And we're working with ODOT to try and get them to be a little more flexible on standards so we can bring the cost down. ODOT standards are just drive costs of projects up tremendously.
Oh. Is it possible to put e-bike charging along the Main Street construction renovation there, or it would be neat to do some kind of electrical charging, even if it's just bikes, and then potentially when that at least is mostly completed in the summer, then have this fair you're talking about, and then kind of they could even talk about, you know, show the plans for the potential lanes that are going to be all the way from mm-hmm. Willamette mm-hmm. downtown mm-hmm. over across all the way over to 43 and that connection mm-hmm. and just get people excited about alternative mm-hmm. transportation?
I think it's a really good idea, and I remember having some discussions around that, and everyone was kind of like, well, where are you going to park the bikes? Is it going to take up a business's space, mm. or it's got to be like city-owned mm-hmm. space? Mm-hmm. So there, with the new electrical energy that we're putting in, I mean, there's certainly opportunities there. It might be that businesses might want to do that. Maybe they want to offer that. Mm-hmm. Out front of their places, if they want to dedicate a little space for someone to pull up their e-bike and plug it in.
Don't e-bikes do just 110, right?
It's real easy. Yeah.
And how long does it take to charge one?
Ours, like, it's, you know, depends. I mean, you can ride it for a few days, and then overnight it's mm-hmm. for a full charge.
Yeah, okay.
But you can charge quite a bit in just a couple hours.
Yeah. Like a car.
But if you're going in and you're, you know, grabbing a snack or a bite, or you're hanging out somewhere for an hour, I mean, it just can help boost it.
Sure.
Yeah, if it's offered. Yeah. So should we change that action item to be that you'll just report back on what you?
I'm happy to report back on what comes up with PG at this time, and then if it's not in this call, I'm going to be getting back to Maria about. And their staff about this summer.
Okay.
Do you know whether PGE helps with energy audits at all?
No.
You know, if there are other power companies in other states that really invest a lot of energy in those kinds of audits.
Yeah, and I think they do for certain facilities.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know exactly what their limitations are.
I think they send the city a report every year on the amount of power that's mm-hmm. that the city has purchased.
Okay.
So that's available. So yeah. That's something I can dig up for you, too.
Okay.
Does everybody know about the peak time rebate program?
No.
I just learned about it. Last night was my second. So I get an email, and it says to me, it says, okay, between 4 and 7 p.m. last night, any energy I save over my standard for that day, I get a rebate. So last night between 4 and 7, I've got candles going and I've got all the lights
shutting down.
Last month I only got like 26 cents, you know. So this month I'm like, I'm determined. I'm gonna
get a meal out of this.
Right. It's not much, but it's a program that they don't seem to promote very widely, because I sort of found out about it by accident at one of those tables where they
that does this.
It's PGE. You just go to their website and you enroll, and you'll get an email. It says, okay, tomorrow night's a rebate night.
So so they tell you when it's.
They tell me when it is. Okay. It was between 4 and 7. Yeah, hmm. And it's. I think they assumed there was going to be a lot of energy use last night because the temperatures were low, and so it. You know, the more people, the better. So
it's only when you're notified then.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. One of my sons lives in south of Los Angeles, and I think his home is set up so that basically. You're using the energy like at low energy times when there's less being used, and that it's really been resulting in a lot of savings for him.
So. Where it's billed at a different rate.
Yeah.
I thought this. So I thought I'll start telling everybody about this program. we've got that on our. The education series, we've got that.
Yeah, so call that one done since you've got it on your...
Yeah,
your
We'll got that one done. And then,
yeah, it looks like all the other ones were pretty much done. They were all, mm-hmm. focused on the retreat.
Okay, great. All right, so back to the energy audit. So you, wanted to get more information about Ameresco. Is that what?
Well, and it looks like it says here Ameresco charges and won't take payment until changes are implemented. So it looks like, was there a report back at some point from Ameresco? Because it is included in the notes.
They've never been used yet.
Yeah, I don't think it was.
No.
Okay.
It was just discussed as
an option. It's just discussed.
Yeah.
I think we need to do, I guess to find out what was done in the past and what is being done.
First on the list, we need to find what was done first.
Mm-hmm.
Information gathering.
I'll check back with MRSCO too. I've got a couple good contacts.
Okay.
So, Jared, do you have access to that, whatever initial report was done, over and beyond the one that was done by the OIT students?
So I will check into that.
Okay.
So, yeah, Chris and I can, you know, knock on some doors and see what kind of information we can come up with that will be helpful in the in your proposal.
And then I'll check with Glenn and see what I can find out about who might have been involved.
Okay.
Yeah, because the original energy audit was probably done by the Energy Trust.
Yes.
You think? Energy Trust, no?
Not
yeah,
sure.
I don't think
no
it...
No idea.
Oh, okay.
It was before my time.
That kind of
so.
Sounds right, but...
Yeah, because those are...
Let's ask Glenn.
Those are
Glenn
free.
Will know.
Yeah. Okay.
Two questions. Is there still access to that original audit?
And that's what we're...
Right.
Dan was going to dig up.
Okay, good. And who's Glenn?
Oh, so Glenn is a board, a former long-time board member who was particularly interested in, you know, energy, solar energy, that kind of thing, and he just went off.
Was he, okay, so I did meet him.
Yeah,
he was here.
Yes,
yes.
Yes.
I just,
here.
I just didn't, never got everybody's names connected.
Here's Paul.
And he was, he, yeah, we, we're going to have
yeah.
to, you know, like his brain. Off and on this year, I think, because of the he was he did a lot of the work on the strategic plan,
yeah,
and all that sort of stuff. So.
Well, and he said he'd be available,
right? Yeah. And
Alex and Sarah are also good resources on both those, all that kind of stuff too. And they wouldn't mind feedback anytime.
I don't think they were around though for that energy audit. Mm.
Think so.
Okay. And then let's see. We have on here meet with the Youth Advisory Board. I guess that's was that in case we wanted to get
enlist some youthful assistance if there are anything, you know, like the OIT students did. Maybe there's something that they can get interested in regarding that.
Okay.
And I know teachers who have students who might potentially do that at Westland High School. So. Mm-hmm.
I'm active in youth advisory councils around the nation, and there's a lot of neat, sustainable stuff they work on. And I brought it back to, I think Alicia is checking in with them on what their activities are. But Alicia, well, of course, Alicia's going on a maternity leave, so... I'm not sure who's going to come on to the liaison for the council. It's actually a council, not a board. Youth Advisory Council, YAC.
Okay.
I can check on that. Why don't I check on?
See if there's anything that they're working on that we
Yeah, to see if there's some cross-bridging. Yeah. They're really focused on fundraising kind of right now, trying to get to some of the national events, trying to get kids engaged and get them as part of, like, a lot of other cities around have youth councils that go and participate with other youth councils. Regionally, there's an Oregon council conference, and then there's national ones.
Do they focus on getting involved in city government activities?
Oh gosh, yes.
That's kind of their primary focus?
That's their primary thing, is engage and involvement in local government and influencing things, and if you're interested sometime, I've got like a very long list on my app in there about all their issues. I've got like 200 things.
Yeah.
It's really cool. It's really interesting. I mean, they're just...
Yeah. Are they...
I love
what,
it.
Is
youth
it like
energy.
16 to 8? What's their age?
High school.
So it is 14 to 18.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know if all of you are aware of the... of this, where you can find the meeting notes from all of the city meetings. So you could go and find all of the... all of the Youth Advisory Council... meeting notes too. I'll just show you real quick, not to disrupt your.
Is there anybody any of the teachers at the high school who are involved with the youth advisory council?
So if you go to agendas and events, you can do this for the sustainability advisory board too.
You put in a
time frame. So February last year, February this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like Todd.
Yeah. Well, like Todd, yeah, yeah, for sure.
All right, because the advisory council is not,
not there.
Sin of omission.
So I'm not sure why it's not on there, but...
Anyway. Contact the webmaster.
So like for the SAB, you could...
Yeah, that's how you get
the... You just hit apply, and then it'll bring you just SAB meetings, and you can look at all the notes and listen to the audio and see the agendas and all that. So I'm not sure why Youth Advisory Council is not on there. I have to ask.
Do they submit minutes?
I don't know. They may not.
Maybe they don't submit minutes.
I think they do. Just have to ask Alicia. Maybe they're somewhere else on the website.
Under council instead of boards.
Right. I don't know. I'll ask and I'll
check. It's not an official board. It's like, you know.
Is Alicia going to be... When is she going to be gone?
After this month. 2 weeks, about.
Only 2 weeks?
She's only here for another couple of weeks.
Oh, but when?
Their staff is bringing a replacement in or to help fill her shoes. They've hired someone. She starts next week, actually. So it's going to be a couple-week overlap with Alicia.
Oh, good. Because I know when we use Alicia sometimes. And she's a big help for things. All right. Looks like we've got a next step for goal two, which is you, Greg, doing some research and getting some input from you guys on the OIT report and the past energy audit info. So that's a good next step. I guess what we'll do is we'll just every meeting just go back to all these tasks that we outlined. All right. What is this? Oh, I see. Then you talk about the youth advisory room. Okay. All right, how are we doing on time? Oh, we're doing good. All right. All right, goal three. I guess at this point, since it's kind of early, we could just talk about topics. I had thought we should do the recycle one again because I thought it was so helpful. But maybe there's ones that you guys have better.
Well, the idea down here that we had, a gardening with natives, reducing use of chemicals, maybe we could fold that into something about these potential right-of-way, adopt-a-right-of-way gardens and get the youth and parental units involved.
For you talking about workshop energy as or education
as an education series workshop, kind of to kick it off. If that's something that's going to fly with the city council, you know, the right of way thing.
Is there already regulation in the city about the use of neonicotinoids?
Mm-hmm. Yes, the council passed a resolution to
I saw that.
Yeah. Thought I remembered that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Good.
But there is a lot more than a lot of other chemicals.
You know, one thing I'd love to see if I could insert into the community stuff is reducing plastics.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, if we anything, I mean, if you guys are interested, you know, ways to team up and educate people and, you know, there's so much plastics offered in, you know, like our main shopping opportunities that we have, like Safeway, and it just drives me crazy.
That's true.
And it, you know, I don't know, you know, if we can put pressure on our stores and educate people about just how to, you know, get these cloth bags. You can use these cloth bags; they work really well. You just wash them out, and you know, you don't have to go. But then there's a lot of packaging and stuff too.
Yeah.
So that's a matter of getting them to how. But if you can come up with some. You know, and other cities and places are doing this.
Yeah.
You know, there is the plastic ban in Oregon now that just came active.
But I was just in Walmart today, and
you can still get them, and they're not really. I understand they're not really necessarily enforcing for a while, and but it's not just the bags; it's just how everything
they're
comes.
They're slipping under the door. I mean, they found a loophole because they're thicker bags. I guess they're charging for them. I don't know.
Yeah. I think they are.
But they have on them, this bag can be washed and reused.
Oh,
so,
right.
But it's still a plastic bag.
It's just
a little bit thicker.
A little bit thicker that last letter.
That's green.
Well, there are other cloth ones. And
Yeah, and I don't know, would it be of interest to the group to work on a way to communicate with all the businesses in our community about desiring fewer plastics in their things they sell? And
yeah.
I mean, some of them are national, or, you know, they're big companies, so I don't know what that could be. But, you know, if the city could actually implement, the council is all for reducing plastics. Okay. So
Dutch Bros, those plastic cups and the plastic straw. And
so could there be at least guidelines? You guys, you know, put together maybe we guidelines we get from someone, and we've got an outreach to all our businesses maybe. Part of the education series would be about informing the businesses, hey, you know, if you're going to sell in West Lynn, community we care about reducing plastics, so what are you going to do? And mm-hmm. we're going to be on you about it, or we're going to, I don't know what we'll do, but we'll, you know, let them know our preference. And
if your coffee was 25 cents less, if you brought your own cup and they filled it instead of getting another cup to mm-hmm. go,
yeah,
that would be significant.
All kinds of little things like that.
Coffee shops I just read today are charging 25 cents for the cup, and they found that just by doing that, they had a big drop in sales of
it's just a measly quarter, but it,
I know,
but it works.
Same it thing reminds people to bring cents. Their own cup.
Yeah. I pocket paying 25 cents.
It is a topic that comes up with youth councils a lot, and so that could be a part of your youth connection too, and education. And
this kind of change is it's got to start down here, because unfortunately, the phenomenal increase in the use of plastics is industry-driven and sanitation-driven, and the cost of fuel to make the plastic in the first place is so cheap that recycling the plastic is just, companies don't want to deal with it. Yet in Sweden, they recycle almost all of their plastics. Oh, yeah. And there's equipment out there right now, single pieces of equipment that chip and sort plastic and makes it ready for use again, but we're just not doing it. Getting companies to change over to start using recycled plastic is just like pulling chicken teeth, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, but it's got to start somewhere, and I think, you know, starting locally and getting a groundswell going.
Well, and even just encouraging shoppers to not buy products that have lots of packaging, just which my, you know, we've been doing for years and years, and my wife is incredibly careful about it. And so there's very little plastic that we throw out as a result.
Yeah.
But that really becomes an educational issue itself. So
that's what I got a lot out of Alex's talk because obviously he was saying that Oregon will never run out of landfill space. We have tons of land. You know, in 50 years they'll be saying, okay, let's move the landfill over here. You know, but what they were pushing was the creation of it, you know, the reducing was the number one thing to think about. So instead of going to the supermarket and buying a plastic that is recyclable, but it's big and heavy, buy the, like for your coffee, instead of buying those big plastic coffee grounds that come in, some come in that way, go for the bag. Even though the bag is plastic lined and you can't recycle it, it's still a lot less energy to produce than even a plastic container that you can recycle. Mm-hmm. So that was an eye-opener for me in terms of thinking backwards in terms of what you buy. Pre-cycling, they call it, I guess. They used to call it.
I like the idea of maybe looking at an education series workshop on reducing plastics. And it's easy to say, well, reduce plastics, but so much is purchased in plastic, you know, nuts and snacks and everything, these hard plastics that are throwaway. So you've got to give people an option. Okay, if you don't purchase this, then to get the same thing, what do you purchase?
Right. And it's not cheap.
You can't just say don't purchase. There's got to be an option, and it's got to be safe and clean. Yeah. So,
but it's more expensive because, I mean, I buy deodorant and glass. I try to do like least plastic as I can, and it is more expensive for sure. So there's a lot of roadblocks to that.
Seems like another possible topic might be just to try to inform people about the different climate action plans that, you know, have been adopted by Multnomah County and Portland and Beaverton, because a lot of people don't know actually what governmental agencies, organizations are doing to really try to address it in a systematic way. So Granted, almost all those efforts are not enough by a long shot, but they still are efforts that can be built upon. And I think it's, particularly for young people, it's important for them to know that adults are not simply throwing in the towel with regard to this, so that there might be some value in, having a session that would really just kind of focus on what has been approved and is being attempted in these different localities.
To support what you're saying, I have a little clipping from the Oregonian. Somebody was saying they were proud of the Beaverton City Council and Mayor for passing an 86-point climate change plan on November 12th. Okay. And I thought, I should find out what that plan is.
It's probably a big
it's probably a big, you know,
big
but,
thing.
Yeah.
But
that goes back to our hiring a sustainability staff person, because I'm sure Beaverton has a staff person, one of the things that Glenn told us was those plans cost thousands of dollars that we don't have.
Yeah. Right. Okay. That explains how they could do this.
Yeah. Right.
But I wonder still,
because Milwaukee has one. Well, Portland's is huge, so they do have them. But going back to a speaker, you were at that meeting where Evan Polk.
Yeah.
Maybe I wonder if he would.
Possibly, and there are folks in the sustainability office in Portland who would be good to bring down to.
Evan would come talk to us.
He would.
He's really interested in that. He just wants to be asked.
I know. So maybe that could be one of our speakers.
I think whatever we do, I think a primo one that covers all of this is to talk about energy use reduction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how each one of us can do, because that's the root of everything, is too much energy is used. So how can we reduce our energy consumption? And I'm hoping that the youth who are protesting are not expecting the government to solve the problem, because it's not going to until we start using less energy and they take notice. So I really think that that's a primo one we should address, because that covers the plastics and everything else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cell phones and the internet as well.
Yeah, exactly. Screen time.
I know.
How many people are going to cut back on their screen time?
So I have three things, possibly. Recycling / reducing plastics, climate speaker. We had a climate speaker last year, but I wasn't able to attend.
But I was thinking specifically not kind of laying out the problem, but looking at like what localities are doing to really address it.
Yeah.
And that's what very few people seem to know about.
That's true, yeah. And that could tie into what you could do, or it could be a separate one on energy.
On that topic, there's a really interesting article from a writer from Oregon, actually, in the New York Times.
Oh, yeah, right, in Klamath Falls.
And actually, my daughter has been lecturing me on this subject. And it's, I'm not saying I don't know all the the truth of all of this, but she would actually counter, and this article kind of counters what you just said, Terry, is that we all feel like if we would just reduce our own little carbon footprint, that is the answer. But what a lot of people I'm hearing now, and these people are saying, is that, yes, that's important, but we need to, it's not just our little carbon footprints that are going to make the difference.
Oh, I realize that.
Yeah, there's like 100 companies out there. There's like a list of the companies that produce 70% of the.
Yeah, so I think
carbon.
It's important for everybody to participate in positive steps, individually. But I also think, I don't know. Not just saying, hey, as long as we're all doing our part, it's going to be okay, because it's not.
I think her point about joining organizations that are really kind of addressing these issues is really central. So that's valuable. As you're doing.
Well, the key is to stop having babies, and
I stop.
You're not going to get that fast.
Well,
too many people.
I know. The kids are talking about not. Yeah. I mean, I've not heard as many people talking about not having kids.
Yeah.
But they're already planning on not having kids in there, so they're younger than
yeah,
people.
We actually are. The U.S. population is finally declining a little bit.
Well, that's because we've stopped migration.
Maybe that's the reason.
So what
I don't know. My son lives in Montreal, Canada, and Montreal is doing amazing things. They have a new mayor who is actually going to tax, we talked about this, I think, last time, cars by their size. So the bigger the car, the more you pay. I like that one.
Wow. Would that go over here?
Would not go over here.
So what what three did you have?
I had reducing plastics. Which I think ties into maybe the recycling talk. Maybe Evan Polk or somebody to speak to what communities are doing for climate action.
Uh-huh.
And then reducing energy use, which we sort of talked about a weatherization talk last year, but we couldn't find anybody a specific.
Well, that would tie into Terry's whole thing about reducing energy usage.
There was we were talking about weatherization. Yeah, no, they were.
If you were looking for somebody who's he's not about a specific like one industry or one practice, but John Talberth, he's with the Center for Sustainable Economy.
Oh,
he's
yes.
actually lives here in Westland. He's very policy focused and
right.
very kind of the higher level. So, and I don't know if that would how that would work with speakers you're interested in, but he's a very good speaker.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, we picked up some of his materials at that.
Yeah, at the meeting. Event on the 2nd.
My husband
December.
Did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I should pull that out. So was that a fourth option, or was that does he go into energy?
I don't know, he talks about...
He probably talks about all these things.
The times that I've most seen him engaged is about kind of forest conservation, so it's, it's kind of a different area, but I think he has broad knowledge.
Anything else?
You want to let these ideas steep for a little while before we really pin down which ones we're going to do?
Yeah. I think so. And we probably have a little time before we have to actually pin down dates at the library, I think. Although it's already halfway through January, isn't it? We might have to think about that. And then I guess we can go. The old time fair is coming up. Let's see. The next task was everybody reading the Westland Strategic Plan, Sustainable Westland Strategic Plan.
Which art.
I know.
Just it says portions.
Yeah, what were you thinking about this, Terry? Were you thinking of...
there's one section of the plan. It's really not that long. You start looking at it, and it might be helpful just everybody to read it. Let's see.
Okay, sorry.
I think... Yeah, the guts start on page 19, I think, of the plan.
Yeah.
I have a copy of it I'd like to pass along to someone that I borrowed to read.
Okay.
I'm assuming it's on the website.
Yeah.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess if you could send us a link to that would be
Darren
sent me a link to
your website.
I got a link.
I think Darren sent it.
Yeah, we can send out a new link so everyone's got it fresh in their email.
I mean, we have a Google Drive. Google
Doc?
Google Drive?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That I have that has all that stuff on. That I can, But I'm just not.
That's where I originally
It takes me 5 minutes to find anything.
Yeah, I don't think Google. To me, it's clunky. It's just really
easy to send out a link, not a problem.
Yeah, I'd say a link is. Yeah, because we have a shared drive.
Oh, yeah.
That all this stuff is on.
I know, I'm involved in that with my family.
It takes me forever to find stuff. So. But anyway, okay, so let's write this down so everybody will get the link. Should we talked about taking portions of it and just having it be an ongoing agenda item for a while.
Pick away at it. I think it's a good idea.
Once everybody reads it and looks through it and knows what's there,
then
maybe next time we can take some time in the meeting and portion things out.
Is it easily...
Wait, pages 19 to what?
Yeah, so can we...
To the end of that section.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you'll see it. It's pretty obvious.
Okay. And
it's all laid out like this.
Sure. And you want us just to overview...
Do your homework. Yeah.
I don't mind that. I'm just clarifying.
Yeah, just to find out what's in there.
Just see what's in there and maybe come with some ideas about how to portion
it. Just get familiar with what's in there, and then we can talk intelligently about what needs to be changed or added. And I think we had an idea of, instead of maybe updating the whole thing, is to putting an appendix in the back that can be easily edited instead of editing the whole document.
Right. Because there
that applies to the climate action.
There is an appendix in the back that...
Which was one thing we were going to update.
We were going to update it, and we were going to... So as you're reading it, think about climate action and what we can pull.
When I went through it, I just highlighted some things that applied to
climate
action. Yeah,
because you've made a good start on that, I thought. And then if we come up with an appendix in that appendix, then we can pass to the council.
Mm-hmm.
So can I ask a question about it? Because I was curious about that. I wasn't at the retreat, but there was a plan to sort of recognizing that our current sustainability plan had a lot of climate elements,
right.
And we were looking at maybe creating either an appendix. Mm-hmm. Is that what the thought is, to sort of have our... kind of a focus, climate action plan for the city, so we will have something.
It would be like an abstract that just condenses it down to those things that the city that we put in there.
Okay.
And it's readily...
So that is part of the continued goal then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't make it a goal. We made it a task.
I see.
But it's definitely something that we've been talking about for...
Okay, perfect. So it's to come up with whatever our form, a low budget kind of form is.
It's our version of a climate action.
It's something we could submit to the council, not really as a proposal, but as an addendum to the plan. And, they can see it. We can just put it in there.
Cool.
Cost nothing except our time.
Great.
Yes. All right. So we'll put that on agenda for next meeting to get started on that. And the next, so Terry, you've already gotten an email about reserving a booth for the Ult.
Yeah, it came like a week ago, and I sent it out to everybody. So for the fair, we don't need to make a decision now, is what we want to do. Do we want to do anything? If so, what? Something similar to last year. So.
On that subject, I took the liberty of bringing in the box that I have been storing. It has our materials from our booth and our banner. If someone would want to store it, or it's not a huge item, but it's just outside.
Yeah, we can just keep it here.
That would be
good.
That'd be better.
No problem.
Great.
Thank you.
All the bee stuff.
Yeah, this has our bee costumes.
That was so cool. Hope we have a lot of pictures of you dressed up.
We did take quite a few.
Yeah, we did. What is the date this year?
It's July 17, 18, 19.
Oh, the sustainability website.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I'm not going to be here.
I have a banner and the bees.
Yeah, once every 4 year family reunion.
Oh,
It's too bad.
July 17,
18, 19. Okay. So, do you guys want to do a table? You and I chatted at it. So
right.
I met Greg at
good,
the
well.
Great. I got Greg to think about the committee. I don't know. I mean, I
think of having a table and talking to three people is better than not having a table and talking to nobody.
Right, exactly.
And then the e-bikes was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, now maybe that can
we might
tie
expand
into
that.
Bigger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it also was, you know,
so
just got our name
on that topic. When I talked to, I forgot who it was, about the fair last time, they want only one vendor per discipline. So they said, you know, you can have one e-bike vendor there. So I'm wondering if that rule can be circumvented or expanded if we wanted to have a subset of the fair, a little e-bike fair.
Who said we can only have one?
Was it Terry Jones?
Yeah.
Or someone at the city?
Yeah,
I think
city.
It's a... I think it's in their vendor rules. Like, you can't have three curly fries people. Yeah. You can only have one. I mean, I don't know. I'm just...
So anyway,
I'm not an expert.
Curly fries?
Really? Fries.
Maybe that was a bad example.
Yeah, right.
You can't have too many curly fries.
So anyway, there's that. I mean, I like the whole e-bike, e-car, e-event, mm-hmm. but if there's a rule against having multiple vendors of the same product...
Well, I don't think that e-bike fair would necessarily happen at the same time as the West Lynn fair. Mm-hmm. I think
could be both different or two different things.
There was some talk about having the e-bike fair also at the opening of when Old West Lynn is officially finished.
Mm-hmm. When the Main Street project.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I would hate to plan an event around a construction project.
Mm-hmm.
Every project expands to fit the time allotted to it.
I've been watching the park across the street.
Yeah.
But somewhere this summer, the time it'll be a time when the bike lanes will be open.
Yeah.
And we could have a lot of people show up on bikes. That'd be really cool.
Yeah, it would be fun.
Maybe at the street dance or something. We have a really crazy street dance,
bike
fair.
And that's decorated bikes.
That's a really fun time. Street dance is one of my favorite things. Yeah. It's really fun.
Is that?
And last year was so popular.
Yeah.
And it was really fun.
I
love shutting down the street, taking cars out.
Tying something into when people are having fun is a good idea.
Yeah.
Well, you know, maybe.
When is the street dance?
So I don't remember exactly when the street dance is, but that would be a cool thing to coordinate with parks. It's an opportunity to shut down the cars. Mm-hmm. Open it to people and bikes.
It's like the second weekend in July because it's like
it's pretty close to the fair.
Before the fair.
Oh, it is? Oh, I thought it was before the fair.
Yeah, because I usually announce there about the fair activities and the parade, I remember.
Fair.
So I think you're right. I think it's like a couple weeks before.
I probably had scheduled somewhere.
So it's probably early July.
Yeah,
if you go to the calendar, I bet it's already on the calendar.
I'm sure.
I really like that idea
mm-hmm.
of having the e-bike. Some kind of an e-bike event.
That might
to celebrate the e-bike lane.
So, that's 2019. But yeah, it looks like the second weekend of July.
Of a historic timing.
So it must be before. Yeah,
that's the week before
we dance.
Yeah, so it looks like the weekend before the Old Time Fair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're right. If you tie it into another event,
that's the third weekend. Yeah, second weekend.
They're already paying
the
permit fees.
Right. When is all that? They're already doing the shutting down the street.
Exactly, and they'll deal with all that.
When is the street normally shut down? What time of day for the dance? Is it in the late afternoon?
Mid afternoon.
Three.
Something like that.
Because
I might even be a little
earlier.
It might be like noon.
Yeah, actually, you're right.
Well, that would be good if, you know, the new streetscape's going to open with bike paths and we had something that was bike related, then maybe we could get more than one e-bike mm-hmm. vendor there for that, since it's focused on bikes instead of the old-time fair, which
we
get minimal people, but for that, something like that.
People can ride them around, check the bike lanes out, just get a feel for it without cars being all around.
Exactly. Right.
That's a good idea.
And then we're going to have to sweat it out and make sure construction's done. But I'm sure, you know, hopefully
in July.
Let's get events in here.
Added pressure on our staff. Hey, put pressure on our staff. But, you know,
I
can see.
Well, they're going.
See how
at a good pace.
Yeah,
so
they are clipping along.
Yeah. They're on schedule right now.
So we got
clipping along.
Yeah. Cut those trees down.
4 minutes, Cindy, to review the new action items.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we're pretty much.
Yeah.
I think we're pretty far.
We've done a good job.
Let's see. The task six was. An important one about the website.
Yeah.
Is that coming along? Is that up and running?
Well, the new website's up and running, but we're going to be charged with updating
up
our materials and deciding what's going to be on there.
All right. Then How would if I pulled stuff out of the that Google Drive and just sent them or to somebody?
So my, I thought you said you'd my recommend.
Oh, I can do it. I just don't know. It just takes me a while.
So my recommendation would be allow Chris and I to sit down and look at the website and maybe just mock up what we think would be a good design and materials to put on there, and then Chris can bring it back to this group.
Okay.
You can work on it over a couple, course of a couple meetings, and then once you solidify what you want it to be, then we can have some folks work on it.
I think it would be a good idea to have fewer good quality relevant stuff than a lot of stuff.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Don't lose the message in the news.
Yep.
Okay, then let's...
And that'll be...
Put that as an action item for these guys.
When you two look at the website, will you be kind of reviewing the links to see what's current and what's out of date? Or?
Yes, and we did that. It's been a while ago, but yeah, there's a lot of links on there that were just dead, and I think they got unpublished, but I'm not sure all of them did.
Okay.
Yeah, like there was one about foraging for your own food or something that was linked on.
That's awesome.
There's all kind of stuff on there that was 10 years ago.
We'll make sure that's part of it.
Yeah, we'll
take care of it.
You know what would be cool to add on that, if we could, would be to have like just sort of like a little resource component to it, that where you could at least maybe identify some key local regional resource folks that people could call. I just want to know about recycling or something.
Oh, that's a good idea.
You know, you could, there'd be the Clackamas County number there, or the Metro number.
Because
maybe some, if they're going to look and they want to know, hey, I want to find out some information. Just have some of those basic resources. Could be nice.
Yeah, that should be.
I don't want to create a lot of work on that, but I mean, it's... Once you get some of those and you get it established, you have to upkeep it a little with people.
Plenty of other examples of how other cities deal with it. So like the jurisdiction I used to work for, you could go in there and say, who is my garbage hauler? And then you click on it and it takes you to Metro's. Metro has a map that shows everything. How do I recycle? And it clicks on it, sends you to the whoever the franchisee is.
Wow.
Cool.
Yeah, so we can build in.
Yeah, I like that idea. SAB stuff and then resources.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
Let's go. How do people go to their website like that, though? I guess that's a question. I don't know. I mean, I say that, but maybe people will just Google something and then they won't. I mean,
well, I think it's one thing to say that my experience has always been I want to look for something and I can never find it. So I think now that things have been retooled, and as long as we keep on improving things, then it will become a place where people can go to look for things. But I think people won't, you know, once you have one failed experience, like everything you look for you can't find, you're like, I'm not going to waste my time again on that. So so hopefully things have been improved with relevance.
Okay.
I'm going to go over the action items.
Yes, action items.
Do you want me to list off what I've got?
Go, yeah, and I'll...
Chris, to work on the right-of-way map. Russ is going to meet with PGE and report back. Darren and Chris, look for previous energy audits and to satisfy goal 2.
And to also get information to Greg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Russ, check with Use Advisory Council for any possible connections. I put down Greg to get information on the goal 2 from.
Okay.
Everybody reads the strategic plan, just review it, see what's there. And Darren and Chris get info on the website, SAB website.
And then I just had one more. Chris and I work with Kathy to get a date for your joint meeting with council.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's task 5. Anything else? I guess everything else is sort of ongoing, so that sounds good to me, I think. Okay. Anything else? Anybody?
Is there somebody from this group who would be interested in taking on reaching out to the Metro T2020 Task Force? Because as far as I have understood when I'm talking to Lance, The reason why Westland doesn't get more funding attention is because we don't qualify for. So I got
equity.
To thinking. Equity. So I got to thinking time. About that. I don't have any statistics, but I know from just living here all my life and working at the high school as a microcosm of financial, you know, demographics. Not everybody in Westland is wealthy.
That's right.
And what reducing services to a community that's maybe like, I'm just going to 60-40, I don't even know what the ratio would be of wealthy versus lower income people. It actually creates a foregone conclusion that people won't, the underserved people are being forgotten. They're being forced maybe to leave this area, let's say, because they don't have a car and they need to move somewhere where they can get around. And so
there are all these apartments on the hill with no bus.
I mean, exactly. So I'm just saying,
you're exactly
if somebody
right. We talk
makes
about this at Metro all the time.
An
right?
argument. I mean, if enough people will yeah. say something like that, I mean, yeah. I get it. I mean, I literally have been listening to this argument of Westland's a wealthy community; they don't need our help all my life. I mean, and so, but I see people who need help, and it's such a backward looking mm-hmm. way of thinking. Plus, this is an important corridor for all kinds of people coming out. You know, let's say there could be someone who comes from Malala, you know, that they could then utilize some transit.
They go to Oregon City because this doesn't work here.
Right. So I'm just saying.
Well, we are using those exact arguments in selling Highway 43, and that's been a big, how we've addressed the equity element was helped us to leverage a lot of outlying communities in the metro region
right.
rely on the roadway.
Well, I think people, right. citizens need to be giving their input. I feel like,
sure.
I mean, so that's, I think it's a sustainability issue to have transit, multimodal transit that works for everyone. It's an equity issue too, but
yeah.
But I know I've given my public comment, but mm-hmm. it would just be something I would say, you know, if you guys want to keep talking. I don't know how much longer are they going to be
discussing
it? You know,
that's a really interesting idea. It's a good idea. You know, I wonder if part of the education program could be,
advocacy.
I mean, you get a letter campaign going. They respond when they hear from citizens.
Yes.
And,
yeah.
you know, at the T2020, I've gone to most and testified around 43, and I've been a big champion of trying to, you know, I'm going to keep pushing for, like, the Ogle Bridge and mm-hmm. getting the bike path. But that might be a really interesting way to leverage some of the education pieces, getting people to write letters. It's easy. Mm-hmm. You know, you can develop form stuff, give them the talking points, mm-hmm. and it's doesn't take much, with particularly with email these days, you know, it's
exactly.
gone.
Yeah.
And so that's a really neat idea to kind of generate some influence from the community around that issue, because it is, you're absolutely right, it is a problem. It's like reverse discrimination.
That's exactly what I was thinking it is.
It is exactly what it is.
So, Mary, to your point, I worked at Metro when the flexible funds allocation was going on for 43, and if you recall, we were really pounding the pavement. You came, and a lot of people testified at Metro. I was internally, as a Westland resident, I shouldn't say this on record, but I will, I don't care. Uh-huh. I don't work there anymore. Pushing that project went through the department I worked for. It's the transportation planning department, and we were not scoring well in the one category you're talking about, and it kept dropping us below the 15th level, the 15th project, which is where we needed to be.
Right.
So we talked, Lance and I talked a lot about it at some meetings, and people rallied in a when they had the initial meetings for public comment for people to come in and testify at the Metro Council. Westland had, I mean, was that 20 people show? It was a lot of people, I'll say that. And it was more than all the other projects combined.
Wow.
And I think that spoke volumes to the council. So I think to your points, writing letters, getting involved, and having a voice, or speaking and using our voice, does go somewhere. Mm-hmm. Because you're right. I mean, the theory is, well, we're just a wealthy community because we have the second highest median income in the state. Well, not everyone does, and we also are skewed by some very wealthy people that
right.
shift that number upward.
And unless they want Westland to just become a resort kind of destination city, I mean, you know, and have all the four, not four, but
should we, can we end the record meeting and then keep talking?
Yeah. One other thing is if we could get Greg's and Emily's and Chris's emails to everybody, that would be nice.
Yeah. Oh, right.
I'll send something out to you guys from me, like the links that we were talking about, and that would be, you know, I'll get on that.
Okay. So. Thank you. Okay, meeting adjourned. Okay.